The thing about cultural, religious, and even political differences in our society is that they are often seen to divide us. But underneath all that, what makes us human is the same. We all inhabit human bodies. And when those bodies are broken, we go to the same place as everyone else, our local clinic or hospital. Here in Southwest Florida, that means the Lee Health System for many. And while you may not think of it while you're rushing into the ER or showing up for a surgery, there is a person there who handles those very issues of diversity if and when they arise. Her name is Yemisi Olorontula Coates, and she's the Director of Diversity and Patient Care for Lee Health. Yemisi joins us now. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
If you're just joining the program, we're talking about the barriers of language and cultures and religions in the healthcare system and how they are handled. If you'd like to become part of the conversation, you can give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Yemisi, we just heard about the story out of Miami in which a tribal order was acted upon to remove an infant, and I'm not going to ask you anything about that because it's not your hospital and you don't have anything to do with that. But the story got me thinking about the diversity of the people coming into a hospital, and that, of course, led me to you. Tell me a little about how Lee Health employees are trained to deal with diversity matters there.
Yes, thank you so much, and I appreciate being a part of this conversation. Yes, at Lee Health, we do offer cultural competency, cultural responsiveness training on various levels, of course, to our providers, and how to be culturally responsive, really, when different things come up, and how do we activate our internal and external resources to properly care for the individual. And so we have many functions. We do have a spiritual services department. We work closely with them. Case management is a multi-level approach as it relates to dealing with patients' needs, culturally, religiously, disability, all of that. And it's centered around what we call the 4C model, which is indicated on our website, and that is the following: caring people. Obviously, that's our employees. Attracting and developing and retaining diverse talent is essential. Patient care, providing culturally responsive, equitable care to our diverse patient population. Community outreach, promoting diversity and cultural competence initiatives throughout the organization, community, and working with our community partners through a collective vision for the benefit of our community, and corporate social responsibility, which is our continued commitment to improving the health of the community through diverse efforts and initiatives. So that was launched last year in terms of the 4C model, and we have an internal resource that we activate when different things come about.
Is there any training pertaining to the legality of guardianship like that for Lee Health employees, or are there any kind of cases you could face besides tribal law, maybe someone from a different country where parents with legal custody don't get the final say in their child's care?
Well, we have a legal department within internally within our system. So anything that requires any legal attention or review, it goes through them. Even if I'm dealing with something culturally, religiously, and it needs to go through a legal review, it goes through them. So there's a multiple, it can be complicated process when you're dealing with those types of things that you just mentioned. However, we have the structure in order to help address those things as they arise.
It's interesting how many things you have to be prepared for walking in the door. How can diversity and culture and religion, how can those things become entwined with how medical care is given?
Well, you know, I like to say diversity is part of the care and the cure. Why I say that is, A, we need to understand the individual. And I like to talk about diversity has multiple identities. And, yes, the known ones that we see and the ones we don't see or always know. I always like to say you have race, ethnicity, culture, religion, but you have literacy, education, regional diversity, cognitive diversity, ADA, disability, sexual orientation. There's a lot of components that we need to consider, like you said earlier before you called me onto the call. You said we all are human, and so we're all complex and diverse individually. And in the healthcare, why is it that's part of the care? Understanding that individual, understanding what they present to us, that will help us to get to the cure. So if there's any type of religious, cultural, linguistic barriers that may be at play, that is what we need to address in order to get to the cure. So that's why I like to say diversity is part of the cure and the care. And when you talk about diversity and inclusion, you know, you also have to take into account the social determinants of health. And the social determinants of health includes the following. This is for the Center of Disease Control. It says every person has a neighborhood that they live in and the environment. Every person, whether they have access to health and health care, their health, their history. Every person has a social and community context. Every person has education, depending on the various levels that they have, and then economic stability. So not only we have to think about those components, but I talked about the diversity has multiple identities, but also the social determinants of health, and all of that impacts that individual or family or child that comes into our health system.
Well, you know, it's something that can come up right in the middle of a medical visit, the cultural or religious aspects, because what's normal and accepted in U.S. medical culture might come as a complete surprise to someone that's from somewhere else.
That's correct.
Is that why it's so important that you can have a department that's ready to respond quickly? And how are they able to do that? Is it all training or is there a system in place?
Yes, thank you. There is training, there is policies, and actually we have an internal website, which is Diversely. Our internal website is accessible to all of our employees, and it has information related to everything you stated. We actually have a service called Culture Vision, where it has all the religions of the world, all the cultures, all the additional communities, and it provides information as it relates to how they view healthcare according to their culture and how we can navigate it according to what we do here. So we have an internal resource, which is our website and, of course, a department to help us navigate through that, because you're correct. And a physician that I follow, a study, is Dr. Arthur Kleiman. He created, was a Harvard professor, and he created what was called the cultural sensitive approach to inquiring about a health problem. So we teach this in within the system, where we ask the patient, what do you call the problem? What do you think has caused the problem? Why do you think it started when it did? Because you need to understand how they view their disease. And then once you understand their view, then you know how to approach their disease. And that's called the LEARN model. You listen with sympathy and understanding of the patient's perception of the problem. Then you explain yours. You acknowledge and discuss the differences, recommend a course of action, negotiate agreement. And so these are some of the things that you'll learn in training within the system as it relates to that. And, of course, the resources in terms of if someone's presenting something that is unfamiliar, we can help navigate that within Lee Health.
It's just so intriguing because it's more than just, you know, taking a car into the shop. You're taking your body into the hospital. There's communication that has to occur there.
That's correct.
And that ends up bringing in things like language. And you told us before the show about a case that wasn't really a language barrier. It was a communication block in general. It was a man who came in critically ill, but you all came together to help this man who was also deaf. Can you tell me a little bit about his story?
Yes. This was the first time I've ever encountered this, and so it was very interesting. Migrant worker, didn't have any family here, critically ill, was deaf, however, never formally learned sign language, did not know how to read nor write. He was Mexican and did not know how to read Spanish. And so what he did was he was mute. He made sounds. And so the whole patient care team, and I mean it was the whole patient care team, including the administrator of the hospital at that time, we all worked collaboratively together because we wanted to reach out to his family. And we had to hire an interpreter that interprets sounds. And that was the first that any of us ever seen anything like that. But this is the point of having such a department, such as the resources. It kind of, we act like a bridge. We are the supporters of the clinical community, and we are the supporters of our community that we serve. And so we act as a bridge where if it's something unique, we're able to find out where those resources are and direct it appropriately so they can do what they need to do and care for the patient. And so we were able to communicate and locate his family in Texas by having an interpreter that interpreted sounds.
So he was here by himself, and his family was all the way in Texas, and you had
That's
a
correct.
Sound interpreter.
A sound, yep.
Now I want to learn more about sound interpreting. This is really interesting.
Yes.
We are talking with Lee Health's Director of Diversity and Patient Care, Yemisi Olorontula-Coates, and we're talking about the barriers of language, cultures, and religions in the healthcare system. If you'd like to become part of our conversation, you can give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So when you're treating patients coming from different areas, if not only the nation but of the world, is it safe to assume that you're often faced with complications regarding how people are going to pay? They may not know how to or even if they're able to?
Yes. I mean, that happens not only with people who come from other parts of the world, but also people who live right here. you know, that's social economics has no color, race, gender, age. And so we have a structure in place where if that's the case, you know, we help them. We provide a service and we have people who are designed to help people who have those needs. I mean, we're a not-for-profit hospital. We are a community hospital, and we are a community that cares for our community. I mean, a community of providers that care for our community. So we definitely have those challenges that come about, but we have a system in place to deal with that.
So what about someone's immigration status? Does that ever play a role in their care?
No, it doesn't. Anyone can come into our system and be treated and cared for.
What would you tell a potential patient who might be scared to seek care because of the threat of deportation or an assumed threat?
Well, what I would say to a patient who is in that situation, that it is important and critical, and I know right now some of them are avoiding hospitals because of that, but it's important and critical in order for them to deal with their current status or go through the process, they have to be well. So they need to take care of their health and know that at least at Lee Health, whomever comes into our doors, we care for them.
Mm-hmm. How does Lee Health handle cases of children whose parents follow religions like Scientology? It doesn't allow certain medical treatments.
Well, if, for an example, obviously there's a process, as I said, we have a legal team. Injunctions may need to be had because the ultimate goal is the care of the child. So there is a process, internal process, that it will be reviewed. As I said, we have a legal team, case management team, ethics team. We have certain things in place to review each case and address it as it comes about. So, you know, working in a health system, and it's very matrix. There's a lot of moving parts and all working together for the good of the patient.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you seek guidance from religious leaders sometimes in cases pertaining to religion. Can you tell me about the Muslim patient that you recently sought help and understanding for?
Yes. In this case, there is communities, Islamic communities that I participate and learn from. And so in this case, a nurse did call, and she had a female patient married with her husband and had two male sons in the room. And what she was doing was communicating to the patient directly and noticed that the patient wasn't being responsive and kept looking towards the men. And so she called and said, you know, I'm not getting much traction with the patient, and I don't know what to do. I'm trying to explain the care, and I feel like she's looking for something or some type of assurity to continue the conversation with her. That was her perception.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, how are you talking to the patient? How are you positioned? And she said, I'm just talking directly to her. And we have to understand, in other religions and other cultures, it is a communal decision, not an individual decision. That is kind of like a Western model in some sense, where we, you know, you may just talk to directly to the patient, but in other models, it is a community that decides. It is a family that decides. It's a family that is integrated in the decision of the care. And so I told her to change her positioning. Literally, that's all she needed to do. Instead of just talking directly to her, move your body, you know, a little sideways, and like you're talking to her, but you're talking to all of them too. She said once she did that, it changed the conversation, and the woman started to speak because what she was looking for was to include her husband and her children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that needed to be changed. So a lot of times it's not this, it's not always so difficult. Sometimes it's just simple gesturings, simple use of body language, simple language, simple thoughts, simple responsiveness that can make a huge impact in the care.
And that can have great outcomes with the health.
Great outcomes with the health. It is shown. There's a lot of research as it relates to that, as it relates to applying culturally responsive care and what the end result, the outcome, the benefits of the outcome at the end.
So Yemisi, as Director of Diversity and Patient Care, what does your day-to-day look like at Lee Health? I mean, is it completely varied? You don't know what you're walking into, do you?
That's funny you say that. my everyday is diverse as it can be and full as it can be. As I said, it's, dealing with those four C models every day. So it could be just like yesterday, I had a call with a director who was asking for some guidance on some patient care. So I'm sitting on the phone explaining different things and they're giving me different scenarios. But what if? And I say, well, this is what you do. And then what if? And this is what you do. Or it could be trainings that I do, which was another one, doing trainings without the system. And there's various kinds of trainings that are tailored to the needs and the accreditation standards, federal, and also some new things that I may bring. Another day, it can be working on major projects. One of the major projects that I'm really proud of is a readability study that we did at Lee Health, where we looked at health literacy, our information in English, and understanding the readability level of Lee County's fifth grade, and looking at ways to make it more palatable to our community patients as they come in. Every day is different, but every day is full. It's very exciting, and as I said, I'm their partners in their care. You know, the doctors and the clinicians and all those direct service providers are. My goal is to assist them when these things come up, and to make sure that they have the tools. And my goal for the community is to bridge that gap. So. I'm very fortunate that Lee Health, has this type of position and role within the system that allows me to do really meaningful work.
So Lee Health recently made Forbes' list of America's best employers for diversity. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you so much.
And now they're looking into becoming an accountable care organization. We only have about a minute left, but can you explain what an accountable care organization is?
Sure. Accountable care organization is pretty much health or care organizations or healthcare providers, et cetera, that provide coordinated, high quality care that's comprehensive and really takes into the account the social determinants of health and the population health model. So a lot of things you just mentioned related to that when we talked, it really helps to streamline those types of service for our community. So I'm really excited that we're approaching such a huge initiative to be able to be a part of it.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for today's show, but I want to thank my guest, Yemisi Olorontola-Coates, Lee Health's Director of Diversity and Patient Care. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us, Yemisi.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
And thanks to my earlier guest, Miami Herald reporter David Ovalle. Our show today was produced by Rachel Iacovone and Mike Anairi. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.